Now I'm going to read the Bible passage for today. It comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. Mark 2, 18 to 22. Once, when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Glenys. I've got this one. All right, very good to see you. Thank you already, Glenys, for praying. And this is week 4 of spiritual disciplines. And you may wonder, why are we doing this series? Why are we spending time on spiritual disciplines? Well, here's a good question for us to think about. What kind of relationship with God do you have? What kind of relationship do you want? Now maybe that's a strange question to you, because through Jesus, we have a relationship with God, right? Jesus died for us. He brought us to God. So if we trust in him, we are a child of God. We are children of God. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. We have every spiritual blessing. We have everything, right? Yes, we do. But there's also our experience. And how much are you experiencing God? How much are we, you know, are we walking with him? How much are we you know, glad to know him and enjoying him? Do you enjoy your relationship? Or do you want more? That's the question, right? We need to distinguish our status and our experience, and they're not always the same. Tim Chester, in his book Enjoying God, one of my favorite books, he gives this example. It's not on the text isn't on the slides, but just listen. Imagine two sons. Jack makes breakfast for his father every day, and they chat for half an hour while they eat it together. Later in the day, Jack and his father hang out together, flying a kite, playing football, reading a book. Meanwhile, Jack's older brother, Phil, is embarrassed by his father. Phil stays in his room all day with his music turned up loud. On the rare occasions when Phil communicates with his father, it normally takes the form of dismissive grunts. How many sons does the father have? The answer, of course, is 2. What did they do to become sons? Nothing. They were simply born as sons. But only Jack enjoys being a son. Only Jack experiences a good relationship with his father. 2 sons, but only one enjoys being a son. And if we are honest, are we more like Jack or more like Phil? Or maybe we're not really like Phil. We're more like a son who is never home and always busy with work and just never in touch with his father, right? But what do you want? Do you want to be like Jack? Or here's a good question. What do you think God wants? Does God want you to be like Jack? Does God want you to be walking with him and enjoying the relationship with him? Or just get, well, the benefits? That is, I think, what spiritual disciplines are about. Yes, we have become Christians through Jesus, but in our experience, we want to grow in that. And, you know, the Bible, prayer, fellowship, and then some of the more unusual ones we've been doing in this series, they help us grow in that relationship, and I hope you want that. And today, the one we're looking at is fasting. Fasting, in some sense, it's not very unusual. It's common to many religions. Muslims, of course, Ramadan, 1 billion Muslims, they all fast the whole month during daytime. Actually, there's atheists fasting. If you do the 16-hour diet, that's a kind of fasting, right? Because you skip a meal and stuff. Fasting, in that sense, is not necessarily something religious. But, of course, for Christians, it is. What is fasting? Simply, it's abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. Here's something good, food, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to leave it for some spiritual reason. In the Bible, it's usually food, or sometimes food and water, although generally I recommend you keep drinking water. You have little things like people who give up chocolate for Lent. It's a kind of fasting, right? Something you want, but you deny yourself it. Or these days, what's very popular, of course, is the digital fast, right? Where you stay off your phone or social media for a while because it's good for you. But for a spiritual purpose. Now, is fasting in the Bible? I think most of us know, actually, fasting is very common in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. In the law, in the Old Testament, people had to fast one particular day per year. The Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the temple and into the most holy place and pay for people's sin with the blood. Of course, people had to fast that day. They couldn't work, they couldn't eat, because this was so important. Often grief, mourning, people would fast when a tragedy happened. When they were confronted with their sin, they would spend time in fasting. Something really important that they wanted to pray about, like Esther. Esther wanted to go to the king, very risky. They really wanted to pray about it. So they, all the Jews, please fast for 3 days, and we'll fast for 3 days, and then I'll go to the king. Now, what is common in all this? I think what's common in it is that something is more important than food. Some things are more important than food. Why did people have to fast? Well, for the Day of Atonement, well, your sins being paid for, that's far more important than food. And that's what we had to learn. When you grieve, food seems so trivial. If you just heard of some tragedy, you don't go and order a pizza straight away, right? It seems so trivial. It's nothing, compared to what you've just lost. Something's more important. And if you do it voluntarily, I think it says something. You're saying, well, I need or want this more than food, right? When Esther and everyone is praying, this is so important. It's far more important than food. So we leave the food and we fast. Right? Something is more important. It's a way of expressing your desire, your longing. We long for this more than for food or for something else. That's why people prayed a lot in the Old Testament. In the time of Jesus, the Jews, they fasted, some of them twice a week, for longing, because they wanted the Messiah to come. They wanted God to come and rescue them, to save them. And so I want this more than this food. So they're fasting. Now in the New Testament, does that continue? In a way, it's less common. There's a few instances. So in Acts, sometimes for some important decisions, when the church, they want to send out missionaries, they send them out with prayer and fasting. Paul and Barnabas appoint elders in the church they've planted with prayer and fasting. Sometimes when Paul talks about how hard he's working for the churches, he mentions his fasting. Although it's not kind of, there's not lots of commands in the letters. So maybe you're a Christian here and, I've never fasted in my life. You haven't sinned. It's an optional thing. And yet I think it's still an appropriate thing. I mean, some Christians think that it shouldn't be, because, fasting is so sad and so serious. And, the New Testament is all about joy and peace. Well, I think Jesus answers that in that passage we had read. Jesus did say, when he at some point he was eating and drinking with his disciples, and the Pharisees complained, "Hey, why aren't you fasting like all of us?" And what did he say? Well, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? It's like a wedding. You wouldn't fast at a wedding. You wouldn't fast when it's the groom is here and it's party time. And you know, the people are fasting for the Messiah. Well, hello, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. All your longings, I'm here to fulfill them. Why would you fast? But that wouldn't last forever. And so, yeah, as he said, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and on that day they will fast. Right now, Jesus is not here. He is, he's away. And so in a way, we don't have him. And I hope, like me, you're longing. You're longing for Jesus to come back. You're longing for more holiness. We're longing for an end to suffering, an end to pain. We're longing for a closer walk with God. In some ways, you know, yes, Jesus has come, but we don't have a lot of things yet. And so, yeah, longing, fasting is appropriate for Christians, I think. It's a good discipline. But how does it work? How does fasting actually work? I'm an engineer, right? I want to know how things work. I want to open them and kind of see what's inside. Well, let's talk about fasting. How does it work? Well, as I mentioned, fasting, it expresses desire. It expresses longing. And in a way, you're acting out that longing, right? You're acting out, I like food, but I want it less than I want God. I want it less than, you know, this is what I'm praying for. You're acting it out. You're saying no to food and yes to God. And that does something. First of all, it shows you your desires. Right? When you're trying to say no, actually you find out how much you still like this, how much you like food. I mean, we need food, right? Your body will complain, hey, I'm hungry, feed me, right? Or, you know, digital fast, your phone will, you will want to get it, right? So often, you know, we don't have to say no much here in Hong Kong, right? You want a drink, there's a 7-Eleven everywhere. You want to watch something, you don't need to wait, it's just on Netflix. Actually, we find it hard to say no. You know, sometimes you read the Gospels and you see the rich young man, and he has to give up everything for Jesus, and he walks away sad. And we sometimes see that and think, well, I would have done better. Well, frankly, many of us struggle to give up lunch for Jesus. Many of us struggle to leave our phone for a day for Jesus if he asks us to. It's quite humbling to see how much you still want something. But then that exercise is good because you are, when you're fasting, you're turning away from it. No, I want God more. I'm not going to eat because I want God more. You're, in a way, you're changing your desire. And you're doing that the whole day because your body will keep on complaining. And we often, you know, we want to pray, but we forget. We're too busy. Well, your body will keep reminding you. Your body will keep saying, food, food. And constantly you have to turn to God. And so the whole day you're turning to God. And that, it changes your desires. It's like it intensifies your desires because you're constantly transferring your desire to God. You're constantly turning to Him. And that just increases your longing for God. It increases your desire for Him because you keep turning to Him. And then when you do, you know, spend time in prayer and meet Him because you've been longing for Him all day, it's just better. I don't know, how can I illustrate it? Maybe think of hiking. I mean, I like Coke. Coke, it's a nice drink. But what if I'm hiking? You know, here in Hong Kong, it's 30 degrees and the blazing sun, and I go up 1,000 steps, and I'm just longing for this can of Coke for hours and hours because there's no vending machines here on the mountain. And so after hours, I finally get one, and it's so cold and so refreshing, and the sugar and the caffeine, and it's, right? It tastes so much better because I've been longing for it for hours and hours. And that is fasting. You're hungering for God. You're thirsting for God. And then it brings you closer to Him. It changes you. It changes your desires, your heart. And as a result, well, it strengthens prayer. And prayer is when we express our desires. Right? And often we don't desire something very much. But if you've been changing your desires, if you're more desirous of God and more focused on Him, it will it will make your prayer, it will feel different. Not that our prayers are more acceptable, they're acceptable through Jesus, it will just feel different. And fasting is an experience thing. And God often uses that. And so often, prayer and fasting always go together. So fasting always goes together with prayer. And that's how many Christians use it. Some great heroes of the faith, they've used fasting, and it really helped them to stay close to God and focus on Him, and God used it. David Brainerd, he was a missionary to the Native Americans in the 18th century. He only lived 29 years. He died very young. But that was hard work, very lonely and hardship. How did he keep going? Well, regular prayer and fasting. He needed to find time to focus again on God. And so he would fast and pray, and he would just find that he was longing more for God and for his kingdom, and more willing to suffer because of this kind of this self-denial, this fasting. And God used it. Later, Jonathan Edwards wrote, he published his diary. He went through this diary, and he just noticed, among all the many days he spent in secret fasting and prayer that he gives an account of in his diary, there is scarce an instance of one but what was either attended or soon followed with apparent success and a remarkable blessing in special incomes and consolations of God's Spirit, and very often before the day was ended. It's a bit of an old-fashioned language, but you know, you went through his diary, you could see whenever he turned to God with fasting and prayer, it changed things. And so Christians, you know, we often add prayer, fasting to prayer. Micah Owens, a few years ago, when he was in hospital, we wanted him to be healed. We had a day of fasting as a church. We do it for our New Year's prayer meeting. These days, lots of WhatsApp messages, Christians, and now let's have a day of fasting and prayer about this virus. And it's a good thing. It does strengthen prayer. Although, one thing to warn about, actually, you can fast wrongly. There are dangers to fasting, mistakes. Now, the Bible mentions lots of them, yeah? Doing it out of pride or out of routine or to show off to other people. The big one I think I want to focus on is, well, trying to twist God's arm. It's an English expression, but you know that, right? You have someone, and you're twisting their arm and you're forcing them to do something. So sometimes we pray for something and God doesn't seem to answer our prayers. And then we think, well, let me fast and then God will answer my prayers. It's like we have to earn this answer that, God, I'm going to fast until you give this to me. A bit like some of the kind of political fasting, right? I'm not going to eat until, you know, you do this, like Gandhi used to do. And trying to force God to do something. I don't know if you recognize that. Now, relationally, I don't think that's a very, you know, is it really honest? I mean, think about those two sons at the beginning. What if Phil, he starts making breakfast for his father, and he starts to go fishing and playing football with him. And why? Just because he wants a car and hopes that the father will give him a car. That's not a relationship. And the problem behind that is that he thinks his father is not willing. And we might think that God is not willing. God doesn't love us enough. He doesn't want to give this to us, but maybe with fasting, then he will give it to us. No, because we need to remember the cross. You know, Jesus brought you to God. God loves you perfectly. He loves you as fully as he ever will. There is nothing between you and God because Jesus paid for everything. You shouldn't think that if I do this, then God will answer my prayer. No, you don't need to add anything to what Jesus has done. It doesn't work like that. God loves you more than you can imagine, and he wants to give you everything you need, and you don't have to worry about that. But then, of course, yeah, why? Then why does God use fasting? Why does he sometimes only give something after people have fasted? Well, I think this is what we need to remember. Yeah? very important. Fasting doesn't change God. It changes us. And sometimes God wants us to change before he gives something to us. I see that as a parent. You know, I love my children. I want to give them everything. But sometimes, you know, I want them to say please or something like that. Why? Because I can see that they are ungrateful. They take things for granted. Their heart is not in the right place. And sometimes with God, he can see that our hearts are not in the right place. Actually, we love other things more. Actually, we're not really focused on him. And he wants us to become more focused on him before he gives this, because otherwise it just wouldn't connect. Something like that. God is, you know, he trains us. He loves us. He's at work in our lives. I think that's how we should see this. Have fasting doesn't earn anything from God, no. Sometimes we need to change before God blesses us, before we get closer to him. Because that's the thing, right? We're just often so distracted. We love so many things. God, you know, if we want to be close to God, we need to focus on him more. We need to walk with him more. Okay, so that's fasting wrongly. Now, how do we do this in practice? Okay, I want to fast. This sounds good. What shall I do? Well, how do you fast in practice? First of all, set a purpose. You need to have a reason to fast. Why do I want to fast? Maybe to get closer to God, or maybe you seek guidance for what God wants you to do with your life, or something like that. You need a purpose. The thing is, especially the kind of giving up chocolate for Lent, that kind of fasting, it doesn't do anything because people don't have a purpose. Yes, they say no to chocolate, but they don't say yes to something else. They don't transfer their desire to God, and then it doesn't do anything. So you need to have a reason to fast. Otherwise, it's just, you know, miserable self-denial. No, you need to turn to God. But then, okay, what then? If you have a purpose, well, plan your fast. How do you plan it? Well, okay, what are you going to do? What and how long? Maybe it's food. Food is good because your body needs food, and it will cry out for food. But maybe, in your case, it's more a digital fast or something. It's a good thing. It needs to be something that you actually really want and really love. Like for me, to fast from exercise would mean nothing. Right? If you understand what I mean. Now, it needs to be something that pulls you so that you can transfer that desire to God. But how long? Well, yeah, you can fast social media for a month, but fasting from food for a month, maybe not. Right? Those kind of things. When, and maybe also with whom, that's worth thinking about. What would be a good day to fast if you're fasting from food? Maybe not if you have a wedding banquet, right? That wouldn't be the most helpful day to do that, and you have to say no. Or, you know, you do it in secret, and then your spouse cooks your favorite meal, and you have to say, sorry, I'm fasting, right? Plan it, and maybe, you know, do it together with your spouse so that you don't have these kind of issues, maybe with your small group, as a church. When and with whom? Plan it. And then, what to do instead? Because my guess is if I fast during a working day, what will I do? I will, instead of half an hour for lunch, I will just keep working. Actually, I need to make sure I spend time with God. Fasting goes very well together with something like solitude. I don't want to replace food with work. I want to replace food with God. And so I need to spend my time with God. So take that time to pray, to read the Word. Some of the other disciplines we've talked about. Maybe even the money that you know, would have spent on lunch, you can give it to something else, give it away, and, you know, make it stronger. It's not just the pool of food, but the pool of time and work and money. All those things we say no to and turn to God. So what are you going to do instead? And then, your main times of prayer. With the mountain illustration, you come down the mountain. You need to, of course, you've been longing for Coke, you need to drink that Coke. When are you going to spend time at the end? No, not at the beginning, at the end, in prayer. So often you fast for a day, and then before dinner you have a good time of prayer, a good time of solitude, solid time with God. You've been longing for him all day, and you spend time together or in prayer. It's kind of what we do with the New Year's prayer meeting, fasting during the day, and then pray, and then eat afterwards. Something like that. If you want to have a specific idea, why don't we do that on Good Friday? Maybe you think, oh, I'm busy with work. Well, Good Friday, it's a public holiday coming up. I guess we won't be going out. So yes, skip breakfast, skip lunch, just drink lots of water. Of course, take part in the Good Friday service. But then kind of in the afternoon before dinner, you know, plan some good time with God after longing for him all day. If you have a family with young children, maybe you have to do a bit of tag team with your spouse. Something like that. Let's try and do that as a church. Maybe add that to our Good Friday so that we will long for God more and it will mean much more. I think that would be a great thing to do. And that's a big question, is do we want this? It's a great thing to do, but we need to want it. We need to want to walk closer with God. We want to have more experience of him. Yeah, maybe this is a good time, right? We talked about it a lot. It's a time when so much in our life is crumbling. So many of the things we love and want, they are letting us down. Well, God will not let us down. So let's put him at the center of our lives. Let's make sure he is the one we want, because he is always there for us. He is the most wonderful person to know and to love and to serve. And let's make sure we turn to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can know you. It's not as you are a God far out there, but you desire our affections, our love, our desires. You want to walk. You want us to walk with you, to really be your children in our experience. Father, forgive us when we're so distracted. Help us to focus on you. Help us to use all the tools we have to get closer to you. Help us to think about fasting, how we can maybe do that, and would you bless us in that? As we, you know, as we try to change our hearts, would you be at work by your Spirit in us to draw us to you? And would that be such a great joy for each one of us? In Jesus' name, amen.